Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
America's home for college sports. Live from Jake and Joe's in Waltham, this is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For the next hour, we'll have special guests and get you caught up on Eagles football. The Boston College Football Show is presented by Bud Light, Dilly Dilly, and also sponsored by McGovern Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, driven by you, Bletzer & Bletzer PC, developing long-standing relationships with the clients we serve since 1959. Now it's time to talk BC football. Alongside head coach Steve Adazio, here's the voice of the Eagles, John Meter-Perrell.
The Boston College Eagles are 4-1 for the first time in 9 years after beating Temple on a memorable Parents' Day weekend encounter 45-35. Hi, once again, everybody. Great to have you with us at Jake and Joe's in Waltham off of Route 128. John Meter-Perrell with Pete Cronin, my broadcast partner, and the coach, Steve Adazio. Coach, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, John.
It's a heck of a win. You call it a gritty win. You call it a gutty win. You say you're lathered up now. You're ready to go. You're ready to move forward. We love that at the end of the game.
No, he said leathered up, not lathered. Maybe we lathered too, but leathered up.
Leathered too. That's, yeah. I equate it as the same thing. But
you got to watch what you say nowadays.
That's true. You do.
You get yourself in trouble in a hurry.
Yeah, you make sure you listen. It's my motto.
I've heard that.
Yes.
But either way, 4-1 after five is very satisfying. And take us back to Saturday and how it all shook down. What were you most pleased about?
Well, I thought we played a very physical game. I thought we were explosive on both sides of the ball. I thought we competed really hard, overcame adversity, and, kind of went after that team. I thought Temple was a good, strong team, an athletic team, a physical, tough team, and I thought it was a good win to get, once again, we spotted them some points, and, we have to overcome that, and that's not like us, but it's been like us lately. So I thought we battled hard. I thought on offense we ran 105 plays, the most plays ever run here. And I thought we wore them down and really kind of went after them and really had probably an opportunity to put a knockout punch earlier, but we had a few penalties in a row that kind of took a drive or two away from us. But I thought we played well at times. I'd like to see us tackle better on defense. I'd like to see us, therefore, do a better job stopping the run right now. But we're creating, we're in tops in the conference and sacks and TFLs and interceptions. So there's some good things, but there's some things we gotta get better.
And opportunistic defense, you're +4 in turnover margin now. Hamp Cheevers, we talk about him every week. That interception we thought turned the game. Great ball skills. He has 3 picks now this year. What is his best attributes at the moment?
Well, I mean, I would say that, Hamp is a guy that has made those plays right along. So I think that's been the TFLs, the interceptions, and the sacks have been the great things on defense. But we've got to play better total defense and better run defense. And those are things that we've got to do a better job of. We've got to get off the field. We're not getting off the field. So that's something that we're going to stress tomorrow in practice. We're going to go back and do a lot of tackling. I think it's a byproduct of, not doing a lot of tackling, to be honest with you. And then, of course, we lost Lucas, and we couldn't make a move. When they started picking on the young guys in the corners, we would have liked to put Lucas at corner and Mike Palmer safety, but we lost Lucas, so we lost that chess move. So we were forced with a couple of young guys who are doing a great job, but these teams have these big receivers, and they're kind of going after them a little bit.
I was really impressed, though, with approximately 4 minutes left in the half. Game was in the balance, and we were speculating you're going to get one possession. You got 2 possessions off 2 picks. You get 14 points. I mean, it flipped. We were talking about getting momentum before the half, and in spite of some of the challenges the defense had faced, talk about opportunistic. It looked like that was a critical part of coming going in at halftime with a lot of momentum.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we have been very explosive on both sides of the ball. We're an explosive team, and that's a good thing. So I think there's a lot of potential there, but, you know, spitting the ball to him on a kickoff return is not what you want to do. Mishandling a fine snap on a punt's not what you want to do. I mean, that could have been a disaster, but we think we either picked it or that's where we knocked it out of his throwing motion and got the fumble. But in either case, they had the ball in the red zone. I mean, that, you know, it's like those are the things that got to go away. They got to go away. I mean, it's annoying to watch, you know, and we got to get rid of that. Because if you get rid of those things,
that's a different game.
They're different games. Like, we give up a 75-yard run. Like, come on. I mean, that, you know, and one guy didn't get in his gap. We give up the run, and, you know, that's an explosive. And that came followed up with another quick score. Oh, the fumble, the scoop score. Scoop. So that was 14 points within, like, a minute and a half, you know. And it's like, puts a whole different spin on the game, you know.
It does, but Zach Allen was a disruptor. Huge.
He's been that way.
Two TFLs, couple sacks. They couldn't block him. They were going up with a freshman against him. That's a mismatch. Yeah. He has been that way, and he gets better every game, it seems.
He and Wyatt both have been that way. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's the highs and a little bit of the valleys. We got to get rid of some of these valleys because we're capable on either side of the ball to really be explosive. You know, and we drop some balls on offense. I mean, we ran 105 plays. We had almost 29 minutes of possession. We had two backs run for over 100 yards, and we had, I think we're leading the league in explosive plays right now. So,
Well, two things. You want to talk the explosives. I keep on official stats. I had you with 10 big plays, 10 yards or more, and two explosives of 25 and 52 yards. Getting 10 big plays, you're biting big bites of the apple.
Yeah.
And the other side of it, unofficially, of course, 6 drops. What does that do if you've got 2 drops? I mean, I got a touchdown on here, potential touchdown on here. Boy, that's all a matter of focus, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're just trying like heck to work on squeezing that stuff out, you know. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you're running 105 plays, you're going fast, and that's helping you create so many explosives. But on the flip side of it, we had a few holding penalties that are a byproduct of guys being gassed and they're grabbing on a little bit and it's not necessary. So you're just trying to figure out, you know what. I still like the ability to go fast and create a lot of stress because I think we've never been more explosive. So I think some of these things are going to be byproducts of that, you know, a little bit, you know.
Although I saw a couple of player interviews and the questioning was around fatigue. Sure. Both on offense and defense, and to a man, no, we're in great shape. They're not buying into the we're tired stuff.
Well, they're in great shape, but you know, it's hard on a lineman to run 105 plays. When a lot of teams are running 60 something plays.
So does that have an effect on? Obviously, have an effect on how you go into this week, the battle you had with those guys, the physicality of the game. The issues around guys getting banged up obviously influences the way you approach this week, plus 105 plays. I mean, that's a lot. That's a long day.
It's a long day at the office, yeah.
Do you slow it down this week in practice, or do you just keep hitting?
Well, you know, we got a lot of guys that won't be practicing tomorrow. So we're going to stay with what we did last week because I liked what we did last week. We might trim it back a little bit of time off of that, you know. You know, I think I said at the press conference today, it's a fine line between I felt like we didn't do enough the week before. I thought we had the right mix last week. This is a new week. What's the right mix? We're going to see. I mean, right now we're going to push it just a little bit, I think. You know, I still think we need to push it. So we're going to push it a little bit. But I'm conscious of the fact that, you know, it was a very physical game. We got a lot of guys out of practice. Means more guys are taking more reps.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to watch it closely, you know, and I'll monitor it. I'll just monitor it as it's going. If I feel like the team looks gassed, then I'll pull it back a little bit.
It was a ferocious hitting game as well, including the 3 targeting penalties. Was there a point?
Well, as advertised.
Pete thought it was a throwback game. Was there a point in the sideline where you're thinking, all right, they're a little bit too overzealous on the other sideline?
I mean, I just felt like I knew this would be that kind of game. We prepared our team for the fact that it would be, and it was. And, you know. I mean, it was our guys would tell you it was one of the more physical games they've been in. I mean, it was, we were going after each other hard.
You were.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of teams out there playing a lot of teams, and they're not games like that, you know. I mean, the team we're playing this week has only played four games.
Right.
They had a game against West Virginia that was canceled. And
kind of so, wish they played that one.
Yeah.
Kind of figure out what they got.
Yeah, well, but, you know, let me tell you what they got. I watched them. They got a lot. They're good. The quarterback's good. The running back's good. Their line's good. They run the ball really well. They got big receivers. They're very talented, I think, on offense. On defense, I said, well, they lost a lot of guys in defense. I flip on the tape, and all of a sudden, they've got some big dudes in the center of that defensive line, and they've got some linebackers that can flat run. They've done a great job recruiting. I think this is a talented football team now. You know, I think this is clearly the most talented football team that we have played to this point, you know. And so we're going to go into, and they appear to be healthy and fresh as a daisy. So, you know, we're going to go into a tough deal.
Isn't it a bit of a benefit, though, by comparison, say the Temple last week and Purdue the week before, they're really unknown. We're going down to North Carolina State, been there, done that, kind of know what you're getting into. Having familiarity with the opponent would, in my opinion, be a bit of an advantage because you're not dealing in the unknown.
I mean, I think we've been in three real contests. You know, let's talk about Wake Forest now, too, right? I think Wake Forest got a really good offense, you know, and we were in three really good contests, and we've traveled on the road now twice. So that part of it is good. Now, honestly, I mean, I'm just worried about the health of our team going into this game right now. That's what I'm worried about. There's not much I can do about it, but, you know, you certainly want to go down there with a healthy football team and all your weapons and manned. You know, that's what my hope would be. You know, because it's going to be a tough environment. It's supposed to be 85 degrees. You know, he's pleading to his fans to fill the stadium so that they can, you know, create a great home field advantage. You know, we got to have a great week. I think we'll go down. I think this is a football team that's been through the. We're going into game six. We feel like we're going into game nine.
Yep.
You know. No,
and when you played as advertised a week ago, physical, Boston College brand. You know, just that's your tough. Now you banged up. You still want. Can ill afford not to be your brand when you go. But you're also dealing with some issues with numbers and personnel.
Yeah, we have to be our brand. We've got to play fast. We've got to go down there and be a physical football team, and we've got to hope that, you know, we've been in those contests and really some really tough ones already, and I think that does help you. We have to do a great job this week of getting the work done that has to be done, but doing a great job of trying to manage, you know, making sure we go down there as a, you know, as a with some juice, with some physical juice, you know. So I got to be careful.
Where do you stand? I know it's only Monday. Where do you stand with A.J. Dillon's status?
You know, I don't know. You know, all these guys are in the training room. They're all working. I mean, I'd probably have a better picture of that, you know, later in the week right now. I mean, it's hard on Monday. It's players are, you know, in the training room, but they're off. We come back in Tuesday and, you know, typically guys that are a little dinged up are in some form incapacitated on Tuesday. I think I'll have a better feel for this thing come Wednesday.
Yep.
The good news, I suppose, is necessity being the mother of invention. You talked about being fully aware of Ben Glines and his capabilities.
Yeah.
Fan base all of a sudden went, wow, where did this kid come from? Not a bad position to be in where you've got two guys you can count on tugging the thing.
You know what? We have Benny Glines. We have Travis Levy. We have this young guy, David Bailey. You saw just small glimpses of him, but we really feel like he's going to be a special guy. And then, of course, we have Davon Jones that we can pull on, too. So we have depth, and we have experience, and we have some speed and some size. So and we've got a lot of good players. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, I'm optimistic. But let's see what the week brings.
I guess encouraging to us, at least, A.J. bounced back right away. He wasn't in the locker room. He came out on the sideline. He looked like he was exhorting the team. He was out there doing what he could do, walking around a little bit. So it wasn't like he was, I don't know, from our standpoint, it looked like he was okay, maybe on the sideline at least. I know you got to tell during practice. But good news is, you're right, in terms of guys that you have behind him. And we always talk about Glines. It seems like every carry is 4 or 5 yards. And that's the great sign of a running back, isn't it?
It is, and he's, as Frank Prino tabbed him, the toughest kid on our team. He's highly conditioned. He's a guy that can go a lot of reps without having to come out. He plays in balance. He plays with a low pad level. He's got outstanding hands because he's really a receiver hybrid running back. So you can do a lot of things with him. He's been terrific, and it's been steady. So it's not some, you know, new phenomena here. So we'll be fine, no matter – it doesn't matter. Saturday's coming, and we're going to go down there and play a football game, and that's the way
Cronin's
it is.
Cronin's got a new name for those
guys.
Well,
I've already decided. I'm christening them Junkyard Dogs. I mean, he's a Junkyard Dog. And it was very clear that he
is. Now, be careful now. You really have to think before you speak nowadays. When you put labels on people right now.
Am I offending any dogs?
Be a dog person. You might. They might take offense to you using Junkyard Dog. Well, I don't know.
Or a wrestler. A wrestler, the great Junkyard Dog.
Well, I'm
you know,
sure
you walk a fine line. Every day it's a fine. Like, you know, John's very careful, but Pete walks a
sharp
fine line.
Sharp as that knife, right there. Are you kidding me? Put my butt double runners on. Are you kidding? But no, we were talking about the need for these guys to emerge. These guys who just fighters and warriors, the word you use. And they have such a positive and infectious effect on the people playing around them.
Yeah,
it was nice to see that, especially with an opponent who advertised themselves as being just like Boston College. We're athletic, we're skilled, we're physical, we're tough. Think of the interesting comparisons of Philadelphia, where that university sits geographically. Of the community it sits in compared to Chestnut Hill. Quite a diverse comparison.
Well, I coach there, and it's a whole chip on your shoulder mentality, you know, and I just think that, they can recruit all over. So they've done a really good job. I think they have a really good team. I told Jeff that after the game. I think they can win a lot of games.
I agree.
You know, but like us, a lot of people tell me after they play us, though, that sometimes it alters them for a couple of weeks because, you know, they're in a real physical game, a lot of opponents that we play with us, and sometimes they stumble a little bit after they play us. And I could see that, you know, and likewise for us, you know, that's what we were in.
Right.
One of those old school brawls, you know.
Yep. Backyard brawl. Yep. Battle of attrition. Cronin's loving that. Loving every second.
I enjoyed the game.
I know you did. This is the BC Football Show from Jake and Joe's in Waltham. We're back with more after this from Anheuser-Busch. Third down and 7 for the 48. The give to Dillon. East-West run. Past the 50. Could be gone. 35, 30, 25, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, A.J. Dillon. The preseason ACC Player of the Year explodes for 52 yards.
Live from Jake and Joe's, you're listening to the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. Once again, here's John Meter-Perrell.
A.J. Dillon with 161 yards and 2 touchdowns before he exited with an injury. It'll be BC and NC State upcoming in Raleigh on Saturday at 12:30, 12 o'clock, our broadcast time on the BCIMG Sports Network. Coach, we talk about it every week. Your offensive line has been punishing, led by Chris Lindstrom, John Baker. Those guys have just elevated their game every week. What are you most pleased about their play?
Well, I mean, you said it. I mean, I think they're playing at a high level. We're blocking people, you know, and I told you a week ago, even in that Purdue game, they played well, and they played well here. So they're doing a great job. They're finishing blocks. They play well together. They're leaders, and they're doing a good job in protection. I mean, it's a good unit, and that's why I think you can see other guys come in and succeed as well, because there's good holes in there to run through, you know.
And also a veteran unit. What is it now, Pete? 166 combined starts. You had that stat after.
I had 159, but that's subject to change. 159 starts amongst the starting five.
It's Cronin math.
BC math. It could be off by a few, but close.
Should be good if it's
BC
point. Math.
Yeah, you make my point. But being in the system, not much has changed. Of course, coaching changed, and looks like Phil's doing a heck of a job.
Yeah,
you've stayed healthy in that group. I was impressed with Dillon's touchdown run, his long touchdown run. Tommy Sweeney blocks two guys. I said, okay, so they get in the tight end, who's a pretty impressive receiver. Now he's out knocking people down. I said, that's a pretty good combination.
And Jeff Smith at the end of that play was also high-walled one of the guys in pursuit all the way down the field. So, yeah, I mean, they're doing a great job up front, the tight ends, everybody in the run unit. And so I think, you know, but we have enough balance and enough skill and enough ability to strike you in the play action and in the drop-back game that, you know, if you just want to say, you know, we're going to load the box on you right now, then you're going to be some gaping opportunities for us there to make plays. And we had a couple of great opportunities, made a few and missed a couple that we had that were drops. So
it was encouraging, too, to see Anthony Brown. Last couple of weeks, kind of he seemed to be, his tendency was to bail laterally. Turned it around this week, went upfield, made a couple guys miss, got physical on a tackler, picked up some extra yards. That's got to be encouraging to you.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, he's getting that back again. You know, I was watching some tape last year. I was watching actually the NC State game before he got hurt last year, and he was running really well. I think he's slowly, you know, that's starting to come back in again. That hasn't been much of a factor this season yet. That's another piece that I think if that were to really start to come together, I mean, that makes him quite dangerous because he really was a good runner, strong, and he has good speed. So that piece, I think, you know, would be a nice piece to gain back here down the home stretch.
And Sweeney made a spectacular catch.
He did.
Besides his blocking, that was an NFL-caliber catch, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I saw that, and Anthony pulled up a little early, let it out a little early, and I said, oh, we missed that opportunity. But all of a sudden, Tommy kind of tipped it, flipped it, and came down with it. And then, you know, he made another nice catch in the end zone. He's doing a great job and quite a weapon, really.
Oh, he's an unbelievable weapon. He's kind of robo tight end right now. He fits the role. And you got a lot of those guys.
We
though.
Do.
We've talked about that a lot this year. Ray Martin, Cora Abadrizzi, Hunter Long, Chris Garrison.
Jake Burt. And then you got the young guy who's a really talented guy, Hunter Long.
Right. So you're just kind of letting those guys roast a little bit. And just, you know, they're biding their time, right?
We play them and, you know, you need them all. I mean, we play with two on every down. So, you know, but, yeah. I mean, that's a tough position, right? Because they block a lot and they have to run a lot in our passing game. So they can get, you know, they can get gassed up pretty good. Tommy Sweeney played like 100 snaps.
Oof. Is that going to fly in 185 degrees? Does that worry you?
Probably not. Probably not. But that's why we have depth there that we can roll those guys.
Yeah, that's when you talk about your offensive line, you've got some depth there. Although you tend to, you know, work with a core group, get some depth, maybe two or three other guys who can weave in. Tight end, same thing. You got some depth at running back, so wide receiver. So that if you get down in a hot place,
yeah,
you've got a. Now, do you have a coach that keeps track of how many plays a guy's in the game? No, you don't?
No. We don't have any of that high-tech device. You know, they have these meters they put on these guys. Seriously, they do, and they can tell you how many reps they're taking, and I forgot what they call them, but, you know, we don't have access to that equipment there.
No. You look for the guys that get the faraway look in their eyes.
Yeah, we have the old method. How does he look? he's good. Let's go.
Yeah. Give him some Gatorade.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's all good.
It is all good. With NC State on the horizon, they're undefeated. They're 23rd in the AP poll. Very talented. Seems like we talk about that every year. Starts with Ryan Finley, veteran quarterback, Boise State transfer, NFL prototype. What's your biggest concern?
I mean, you just said it. Ditto that. I mean, he throws the ball really well.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of experience. He's a really good leader. He's very accurate. I mean, he's arguably, you know, one of the very best quarterbacks in the conference, right? Some would probably have him number one. Others would have him in the top three. You know, they got one there. You know, and he's good. And they've got some receivers that go really nicely with him, you know. So
Kelvin Harmon.
Yeah. Big. Yeah.
How much do they miss Nyheim Hines and those backs that they lost?
You know, they're great players, but, I mean, the guys I'm watching on tape are pretty talented. I saw number 20, run through, like, several arm tackles. I was actually very impressed with them. So they have – I'm impressed with their football team. I think they got a really good football team. And honestly, I thought maybe they had lost a lot and it would be a little harder, but they got a good football team. They do. That's a fact. You'll see.
No, I think Dave Dorn's done a very good job. You talked about that a little bit today, kind of the culture that he's rebuilt down there too. And they also have, whenever you lose Bradley Chubb, I mean, that's tough to replace. It's like replacing Harold Landry. It seems like they haven't missed that much of a beat.
Well, I mean, they're more veteran on offense for sure. I mean, you miss a guy like Chubb now.
Those guys
don't come around every day. So, you know, but that doesn't mean they don't have some quality players, but which they do. But, I mean, that guy was special.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a difference maker. You know, you hate it when you know, you don't want to lose your difference makers, you know, whether they're by injury or whatever. Difference makers are hard to come by. First-round draft picks don't come around every day. So, you know, those guys are impact guys.
So this is their second ACC game at Virginia last week. Hard to gauge kind of where Virginia is, but looked like they handled them pretty handily. So big game for both. You've got both your teams are in the same conference, within the same division within the conference. So this is the first of many in succession. But you said it before, you focus on who's next. Doesn't matter what's out there. You got to focus on who's next. So this is a big game for them too.
You know what's amazing, and I know you noticed, it's just like, what week isn't big? They're all big. I mean, you know, you say it's a big game. Well, sometimes I sit here and I'm like, they're all big. They're all monumental. They're all huge, you know. I mean, every game we play is going to be like this. There's not going to be any game you're going to say, oh, whew, that's what a relief.
I mean, not now.
Not now. The next seven. It's all about the ACC.
Not now.
That's the beauty of college football. Every game is a one-game playoff.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you can't lose games. And some leagues are tougher than others, you know. But I think we're in a particularly – I tell everybody about the ACC, the bottom is up, you know. The bottom is up. And so when you're going through this league right now, I mean, every week you're just in it. You know, you're in it. And you got to watch out, you know. And crazy, man.
So it didn't surprise you that Syracuse almost stunned Clemson?
I mean, I heard Clemson's quarterback was knocked out of the game with a concussion, and they don't have a backup. So, I mean, I'm sure that had an impact on the game.
Right.
Last year, losing Anthony Brown in the middle of that NC State game had an impact on us.
Yep.
you lose an impact player, it's going to hurt you. You lose your quarterback, it's really going to hurt you. So, you know, those are hard things. And Syracuse has got a hell of a quarterback themselves. So, I mean, it's not like they don't have good talent, too. So those things happen in games. It's funny. Last year, I think, when they played Clemson, what's-his-name came out of the game, too. He had the ankle injury, and he didn't play in that game, their starter. So, you know, this is an interesting – those two play each other. It's been interesting the last couple of years. But I know that it was a really close game. It was a battle, and I'm not surprised by that, given the fact the quarterback was out of there either, you know.
Right.
But you know what? I got enough to worry about right now. I really don't care about Syracuse or anybody else, to be honest with you. I mean, no disrespect to anybody, but not my problem.
They'll be down the road. Next.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about
next. Take the ticket. Yeah. It's all about next. And we should also mention, if you're going to the game this Saturday and Friday night as well, join the BC Gridiron Club and support the Football Eagles. Benefits include home game tailgates, away game venue bashes. There'll be a big one on Friday night. An unprecedented team and program access. Sign up today at bcfootballgridiron.com. These guys are party central.
I can't wait for the day. One day, that's what I'm going to do. I'm telling you what, I'll be flipping those hot hamburgers, watching everybody, going up to the coach when they come down Eagle Walk. Go get them!
Go get them, coach.
Not a care in the world, man. Just happy. Happy every day.
That's the Crisciotti
way. Go home, flick on the TV, and what am I going to do on Sunday today? Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll watch golf today.
Why not, right? A little Ryder Cup?
That'd be
nice. But hey,
eat a dish of macaroni, have a nice meatball.
Right up my alley.
Have you found the perfect meatball yet?
I already told you that. You don't listen?
I do listen, but I short-term memory.
My favorite
loss.
Meatball is at Limoncello's. That's my favorite.
That's the perfect one.
That's my favorite.
Okay.
Everybody's got a different favorite. I think it depends on the kind of gravy your mother made or your grandmother made when you grew up. Everybody's got a little different take on that.
See,
I'm not going to impose my will on somebody else, but that's what I like. You got to decide that for yourself.
Now, let me ask you something.
It's a personal thing.
What do you call that orange stuff that you put on your pasta?
What do I call it?
Yeah, you call it sauce. The Italians call it gravy.
Gravy.
Okay.
I get you.
All right?
I get you.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're dealing with it.
I'm looking for the perfect matzo ball. What can I tell you?
Not sure I have much experience there.
I like a matzo ball.
Nothing wrong with a matzo ball. Katz's Deli.
I would have said matzo, but you're saying matza.
I say both. You could say both.
Is it okay? I don't want to offend anybody.
Don't offend anybody. It's all right. I'm not offended.
All right. I didn't know that. I just learned something new.
You could say matzah.
It's like when somebody, they say manicotti.
Oh,
it kind of offends me
hurts.
A little bit.
That
you know
hurts.
What I mean?
Fingernails in a chalkboard. Yeah, that hurts.
I don't like that.
So it's
very
all about
much.
The gravy for you, is what you're saying.
Gravy, the good gravy.
Cronin and I are waiting to go to lunch.
I like good bread. Yeah. The bread is, the bread is a difference maker. Now, that's limoncello's, the bread is just beyond belief, I mean, that bread is something else. You need the right water for the bread.
Yeah.
Soak up the gravy?
The Brico bread. It's delicious.
It's delicious.
You dip it.
It's a good thing we're at Jake
and Joe's. How come all the Husky guys like bread?
Well, there's a reason they call us Husky.
Kidding me, both you guys look like you've lost a lot of weight over there.
We've lost hair. I don't know about weight, but we're...
You're doing all right. Hey, we're at Jake and Joe's, and try the food. You're trying it right now. It's outstanding. Always outstanding.
This is a great place to be.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
They do great work here. We appreciate it. Every Monday here at Jake and Joe's in Waltham. We'll come back with more with the coach after this from Nissan. Anthony Brown under center. Toss sweep. And a flip to Smith, the former quarterback, throws to Brown, wide open, touchdown, Boston College! How do you like that?
That's good play.
Jeff Smith to Anthony Brown, who has his first career touchdown catch.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to Jake and Joe's with your host, John Meter-Perrell.
And it's great to have you with us, as always, Boston College Football Show from Jake and Joe's in Waltham. Coach Adazio has left for a moment because we have a very special guest at the table. Her name is Katie Crowley, a very familiar presence around the BC campus, women's hockey coach. Katie, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. How are things going? I know probably not great after the weekend, but overall, are you excited for the season?
Overall, excited for the season. This past weekend was a little bit rough for us, but we learned a lot, and I know we'll come back stronger this weekend.
And when you look at your team entering every year, I know coaches are pessimistic by nature. You probably have to be. But what are you optimistic about?
We have a lot of good players returning to our team, and that's obviously something that's optimistic. That makes me optimistic. We have the reigning Patty Kazmaier winner. We have three Olympians coming back. So we certainly have some players that we're looking forward to seeing through the season.
And when you're building a program like you've done so well, I'm going to call it a dynasty. It's a dynasty. We can put you right up there with Belichick.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'm not sure about that.
But it's a bastion of consistency, which is something every coach strives for. So that's obviously a hallmark for you in the program. But when you're looking for a BC women's hockey player, what are you looking for?
We like to recruit kids that kind of have that drive and that desire to play at the next level. If you're getting a kid that wants to do that, then they... they want to be good, they want to be successful, but also the right type of character that will fit into what BC has. And I think my associate head coach Courtney Kennedy has done a phenomenal job with recruiting players that really fit into our culture and fit into what we're trying to build, and that's why we've been very successful.
And has recruiting become more rigorous since you've been a head coach? Is it more difficult to get players?
Yeah, I mean, there's more women's hockey players playing, so at the younger levels there's more players, and obviously that makes the pool even bigger and bigger. But we're happy to be where we're at, and we know that our school definitely attracts some high-end talent and some high-end character kids.
What do you see has been the biggest improvement even in the last 10 years in terms of a caliber of player?
Good question. I would say the whole game itself has stepped up at a level. With the Olympics every 4 years, you see a huge growth in the amount of girls playing. And I think after those 4 years, they start playing when they're younger. And I think you just see the growth from there. And I think the players are stronger. They're smarter. They're starting to do off-ice workouts at a younger ages probably. And the high school teams are better, and I think that's what makes it exciting.
What are the numbers in terms of women's hockey now around the country? Is it exponentially more teams?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was younger, there were probably three teams in Massachusetts, and now there's, I can't even tell you how many. There's so many, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was just like
different.
5 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Come on. We should mention, oh, by the way, those of you that don't know, 20 years ago, you're on a gold medal winning team. You just told me off the air you had a reunion with many outstanding players, and I think you can look back at that. Was that the seminal moment for women's hockey like we think of women's soccer, 1999 World Cup?
Yeah, I think so for sure. You know, when I was in high school and found out that the women's hockey was going to be in the Olympics, that was a major stepping stone for our sport, and I think being able to play in that in those games and seeing the growth since then. And then you really truly see it every 4 years now when it women's hockey is really on TV a lot more and a lot more public. And I think after that 98 team, it sparked a lot of young kids playing and really started growing.
What do you remember most about that group?
It's hard not to say my teammates. I mean, that team was that Olympics was the first for every single person on that team, and I think it just made it special that we all 20 of us went through it at the same time, and to come out with the gold was obviously surreal for all of us. We were the underdog in those Olympics, and I think our we're all still really close and have stayed really close, which has made it really fun.
It always fascinates me. What's that experience like? Do you live in the Olympic Village? Do you fraternize with other athletes? What's that like?
Yeah, we do. That's the part that is pretty exciting, because you go in, you go into a dining hall and that's where you see everyone. You know, I remember being up at the in 98. I was up at the getting a drink, and someone came up next to me and was like, "Hi, how you doing?" And I looked up and I'm like, "Good, how are you?" And I walked back to my table with my water or whatever. And I'm like, "Guys, Wayne Gretzky was just right next to me, just said hello to me." And it was, a shocking, you're like, "Wait, that doesn't happen."
That is cool.
But you're,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And you get to meet all the different U.S. athletes, and you're all in the same, living in the same buildings and whatnot. So it really makes it for a tight knit group. So it's cool.
Do you find that you, as a coach, you've taken a bit from everybody you've played under?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And going back to, I would say, high school, too. My high school softball team was a very good softball team, and our coach was a tremendous coach and really taught us discipline even at that level. And I think I take a little bit of what he taught me, a little bit of what my college coach, Digit Murphy, taught me. And then, I was coached by Ben Smith for almost 10 years, so certainly took some stuff from him and still really talked to all three of them, so it's pretty cool for me to learn from them.
And Ben was unique because he made the transition as a men's coach to a women's coach. Do you think that will happen more in the future?
I think it has. It has happened. I'm hoping that more women get involved in coaching for whether it's younger levels or college or whatnot, but there's the more hockey that's played, hopefully more women will get involved and start coaching too.
And Boston College, obviously, as we mentioned, a powerhouse, but this year when you look at the schedule, we all kind of look down the road, it's just human nature. What do you see in terms of this team's development? What do they have to do to be successful?
Yeah, I think once we really start learning to play with each other, we talked about it after our first game this year, this past weekend, that we weren't necessarily playing selfish, but we weren't playing as a team. And we started to in the second and third period. I was really happy with what we saw and how we played in the second and third. We just couldn't put one by. And their goalie was the Olympic goalie from this past year. So she obviously had a great season last year as well. So it was tough to get one by her in that second game especially. But I thought we really started to play well in the second and third. And hopefully we carry that over with Syracuse this Saturday.
Syracuse is back on the ice. Huh?
Yeah, we call it our ACC challenge.
I always wondered why. Here's Syracuse. You're in a hockey hotbed in Central New York, and you don't have a men's hockey team.
I know. I can't believe it.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, it is.
Twist of fate. Who knows? Too much emphasis on basketball, I guess, in the Orange Land. But Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Best of luck this year.
Thank you very much.
No doubt, another blockbuster season. No pressure, though. Katie Crowley, women's hockey coach at BC. We thank her on the BC Football Show. Coming back, we'll preview NC State with the coach after this from Bletzer & Bletzer.
Tight end in motion, Adrizzi from right to left. Brown, the snap, the handoff to Glines, pushes forward. Ben Glines is in. Touchdown, Boston College. Ben Glines is the Eagle in the end zone, and he has had a superb afternoon.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to Jake and Joe's with your host, John Meter-Perrell.
Ben Glines, the redshirt junior from Cincinnati, 23 carries, 120 yards, and a one-yard touchdown, as you just heard, against Temple in the Eagles' 45-35 win as they improve to 4-1 with NC State on the horizon. And Coach Ben Glines runs with great pad level. He's an outstanding warrior, as Frank Pirano calls him. Those type of guys, you've done a terrific job with your staff. You recruit those type of players, and you develop them. You said from the get-go, BC, when you came here, it's a developmental program. And Ben Glines is that poster boy type player, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he is. He played a great, obviously, St. X guy in Cincinnati, and we've had great success out of that school, obviously. He's a tough guy, super athlete, played, you know, running back in high school. Really versatile. Certainly a guy coming into his own right now, no doubt.
Puts you in a tough spot when you consider that he, as productive as he was, assuming that Dylan is good to go, would you ever consider platooning these guys just for the changeup, since they're both pretty effective?
Well, we have to. I mean, AJ, you know, Ben, AJ yesterday, Saturday had 28 carries, and Ben had like, I don't know what it was, 21 maybe?
23.
I mean, there's enough to go around. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so it just, you know, it's the way it is. I mean, we need 2 to 3 running backs in every game, right? I mean, so there's plenty of opportunity.
It was what was encouraging from our standpoint, understanding what your offensive philosophy is. You got on schedule.
Yeah.
With Glines. You did, too, with AJ. You were on schedule on first down. You're getting 4-5 yards on first down, and most of those first plays turned into up-tempo offense, first downs, move the chains.
Yeah.
And we saw the science behind the art.
There was a couple of times in that second half we were going really fast, and we were knocking them right off the ball, and we were – really hitting it for 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 yards of carry, and they couldn't get lined up, and it was, you could feel the surge that you're like, you know, here we go, you know, you're going to teeter them right now, you know, you could feel it. And we actually got off schedule and threw a play-action pass that wasn't there that, you know, we probably would have just peeled right through it into the end zone. So, you know, once you get going with that, it's a good deal, you know, but you got to get going.
Time now for the keys to the game, brought to you by the all-new McGovern Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, owned by BC alum Matt McGovern. They have a great selection of over 400 cars to choose from, 777 Washington Street in Newton. Of course, we always appreciate their support, and NC State, another stern challenge. As you said, there's every week there's a challenge here in college football, but with NC State on the horizon, what are your keys to the game?
Well, I think first and foremost, we've got to stop the run on defense. I mean, there's no question about that now. We've got to stop the run. We've got to be able to handle the deep balls, the deep shots. On offense, we're going to go at a high rate of speed. Try to go faster than we did last week. We want to push the ball down the field a little bit more vertically this week if we can. So I think, you know, those are and take care of the ball. The ball, the ball, the ball. What does that mean? Take care of the ball means, you know, don't throw interceptions. You know, don't fumble the ball. Take care of the ball. No turnovers.
5 games in, Anthony Brown. You happy with his maturation?
Very, yeah. I thought Anthony played quite well Saturday. You know, he's working on all phases. I mean, he's played well each and every week. I think the 1 week he would tell you he was disappointed was a week ago, but I thought he bounced back Saturday and played really well, threw the ball well. He's going to get better every week. He's just, you know, he's a young guy and working real, real hard at it.
5 weeks into the season, this is about where teams begin to, the personalities begin to emerge.
Right.
Is this where you thought your team would be back in August going into week 6?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is where we, you know, we'd hope to be 5-0 right now, okay? You know, and we're, you know, we're 4-1. So, but the style of our play, we're physical, we're fast, we're explosive. You know, we can come at you in the run game and the throw game. We're explosive in special teams. We're explosive at a lot at times on defense in a lot of ways, and we're explosive on offense. I'd say I'd like us to be more consistent at this point. We're a little, you know, I'd like us to be more consistent, but we're probably a little ahead explosive-wise. I mean, you know, we're averaging, I guess, over 40 points a game or thereabouts, right?
Most points by BC in program history through 5 weeks, 216.
Yeah, and we're running a lot of plays, which is what we wanted to do, especially this past week. And we're utilizing everybody. It's not a one-dimensional, you know, offense. As good a job as AJ's done, I mean, we're utilizing everybody.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I just think, like I said, on defense, we got to get back there. We got to make sure we're stopping the run on defense. We got to keep the turnovers going and keep the sacks and the interceptions and all that, but stop the run.
And the kicking game, Danny Lawman did a nice job.
He did.
And Colton Lichtenberg, you said earlier today you may get him back. Where does that stand?
Well, we'll see. I think there's a shot we get him back this week. Danny did a great job. John Testore did a great job. You know, we knew we'd have to redshirt one of these guys, and, you know, probably going to look towards redshirting John because Danny has to do the kickoffs. So I'm going to have to burn his redshirt for that because Colton probably won't be able to do that. I mean, that would that's what caused the injury to begin with. So, you know, we're making progress, you know. Young guys, not a lot of experience except for Colton, but he hasn't even really played a lot. So, you know, we got to keep improving there, you know. That's important. And we still have too many starters running down the kickoff team and everything, you know, wearing guys out right now. I'd like to see some of the younger guys pick up some of those roles.
You give them a little bit more responsibility during the week, and then it's baptism by fire, or is that how that works, working the young guys in?
You know, I just think it's got to be earned, and I got to earn trust. And, you know, I'm not going to take a chance of having a play hurt us by someone who's not ready to be on one of these coverage teams until I see it day in, day out, week in, week out. So I'm slow to pull the trigger. I tried earlier to get some of these young guys in. It got a little chaotic with that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I will say that you know, the success you're having in kick returns, in particular kickoff returns, the execution has been remarkable. Four shots last week. Okay, I'll negotiate down to three. Shoestring tackles, otherwise
gone.
He's gone.
It's 6 points.
Yeah. No, I know. We're close.
And it's the execution being at the level that we're at. I get to see the whole field, and I see people just getting hats on hats on hats on hats, and you see that door open up, and you got.
We're due for one. Let's hope it comes Saturday.
A wide expanse for Michael Walker. Another great game for him. Coach Dozier, great to see you. Good luck Saturday.
Yep, Pete, thank you. Good to see you guys. See you
always a pleasure here. Jake and Joe's and Waltham. Special thanks to Katie Crowley for dropping by as well. And, of course, Jason Baum from the BC Sports Information Office, our producer Steve Chachio, and Wolf Gulke back in the IMG studios. Join us on Saturday at noon, BC at NC State, kickoff time, 12:30. For Pete Cronin and Steve Adazio, I'm Jamita Perel. Have a great week, everybody. Good night from Jake and Joe's.
You've been listening to the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. Join us on Monday nights throughout the season here on the Boston College IMG Sports Network. The Boston College Football Show has been sponsored by Bud Light, Dilly Dilly, McGovern Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, driven by you, Bletzer & Bletzer PC, developing long-standing relationships with the clients we serve since 1959. The Boston College Football Show is an exclusive presentation of IMG, America's home for college sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.